Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Monday here on Movie Crush with Chuck Bryant and also Noel on Mondays. That's the full name of the show.
Whoa. This Mini Crush Monday on Movie Crush Wednesday on a Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We generally record on Wednesdays, right, Noel?
I think that's true, yes.
For the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at my outline here that I do, believe it or not, listeners.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the first thing that it says is ketchup. How you doing?
Like the condiment?
No, just catching up.
Catching up.
My
okay.
Old friend Noel.
Oh, buddy. I'm doing really well, man. I have been, don't worry about me out there in Movie Crush Land, but I've been trying to not drink alcohol during the week at all.
That's a good thing to do, Noel. Like Monday through Thursday, we're talking?
Yeah, exactly. And in doing that, not that I had some kind of crazy bender habit during the week, I have been working on so much more music in my new home studio that it's been kind of staggering. Like I've just, you know, been staying home and just recording, staying up late and working on stuff. And I actually had a little mini sleepover with my daughter and her friend, and we made a pop song that I think is actually going to be at the very least, a TikTok or YouTube viral hit once we make a video.
Is it something you can play us a portion of now?
I could potentially play you a little portion of it now, yes.
Why don't you give us a taste, unless you don't feel comfortable?
You know what? I'll give it. It could be my big break, Chuck. I don't know if I want to scoop myself quite yet. I'll give you a little taste, though.
All right, give us a taste.
It's just a snippet, you guys. I can't be able to play the whole thing because I swear to God, this is going to be huge. We're going to make a video.
I love it,
and it's called Sparkle Girl.
Yeah, of course, it is.
Wait for the chorus.
That girl has a sparkle in her. I like no other gal. Cause you see her beauty inside. And she really means it. So follow her. And be that girl. And you will be so happy. Sparkle, sparkle girl. You will rule the world. With your sparkle pearls. Shine brighter than the stars. Sparkle, sparkle girl. You will rule the world. With your sparkle pearls. Shine brighter than the stars.
Hey! That's all you get.
No,
sparkle girl.
I love it. Don't bore us. Get to the chorus. True pop music.
Oh man,
I love it, man. That's fantastic.
It's so fun. It's so fun to make that it's actually based on like a melody that her friend sang on a TikTok video when she was 7, and now she's 11. And I kind of helped them arrange it and get all the pieces in order, and then I made the beat. We did the whole thing in a day, so I'm still kind of fine tuning it. But
that's amazing,
dude. It was a delightful experience.
I love it. Very, very fun. And maybe when you finish it, we'll share it to the old Movie Crush page, and that'll, you know, it can't hurt its viral ability.
Yeah. Well, Casey Pegram has soft committed to helping shoot the video. And these girls are all like mega cosplay nerds. Uh-huh. And they wear these crazy like platform shoes and all these like bonkers, you know, outfits and stuff. So we're going to do like costume changes and shoot it in different like outdoor locations. And
well, if Casey's shooting it, just tell those girls to be ready for it to take twice as long as it should.
Fair enough.
No, ouch. Casey's great.
No, perfection takes time, my friend.
He used to shoot all our Stuff You Should Know videos. It used to drive me crazy. Casey would just be, you know, he's trying to be at a Kubrickian flair to our silly videos. And I'm like, Casey, just shoot it.
Shoot the thing.
He's a perfectionist. I love it.
He is.
Love that,
he
Casey.
Is.
So Noel,
last update, in case you hear noise, my daughter is on her fall break.
Okay.
And her sister is here, and she is watching her baby sister in my house. So if you hear like a kerfuffle or like baby sounds, that's what's going on. So I'm Uncle Noel to Estelle.
Please let me hear baby sounds.
You may well.
They were out there last time we recorded, and there was no
They were briefly, but this is an all-day thing, and I have a really busy day today, so I'm just going to kind of be like in and out checking on them. But Eden is such a good sister. She watches her really beautifully and makes sure she's good.
Get some of those baby sounds in here. Those are the best.
I'll do my best. How about you, man? How was your weekend?
Oh, you know, it was good. Just sort of a light weekend in the news.
No joke.
Not much to keep track of. We went camping, actually, so... and it was Ruby's first camping trip.
Very cool.
And that was so much fun. And we found a snake skin, and we had s'mores and a big campfire and played in the river. And it was just wonderful.
That's beautiful. And that is definitely what we should focus on. That all sounds magical. And to your point, a absolutely bonkers news week that we don't even have to get into.
No.
Capped off by RIP Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, in real time, everyone, he passed away yesterday. And Noel, I know that they're not your jam, but you know they are very much my jam. And Van Halen was, they were my first favorite rock band, and he's why I bought a guitar when I was 12. So it was very sad, and I listened to a lot of it yesterday.
So many kids got their parents to buy them like a shitty Kramer guitar, and then like hockey taped it up with those crazy patterns that he did. Yeah. You know, that was iconic.
That's what I did. My first guitar was cherry red, and I added the tape. And it was, you know, he's one of those guys that launched a million guitar players. And I was talking to Emily about it last night. She was kind of asking, because she likes Van Hagar more than the David Lee Roth version. And she was just kind of asking what I loved about Eddie. And I was like, you know, he was a very playful guitar player. He was very creative and playful. So if you really hone in on the guitar, he wasn't all about playing fast. He could play fast, but he was very much, I think, wrongly labeled as like just like a shredder. Although he can certainly shred. He played with so much heart and emotion and held these great long single notes that you didn't hear in a lot of that in rock music back then. And just so playful. His he had these tiny little fills that he would add. Like get some ISO, some isolated guitar tracks from Van Halen and just marvel at all the little fills he did. Like he did more between notes than most guitarists do in the main like part of the song.
You know, and I think I've mentioned, I grew up, or not grew up in college, I grew up going to this particular music store that I ended up working at when I was in high school and early college in Augusta. And so I grew up around guitar store shredders.
Sure.
And guitar teachers, you know, and there's a certain ilk of folks that really revered Van Halen. And a lot of it had to do with he just sort of invented technique. He invented, like, you know, so many things that we take for granted in terms of, like, I mean, maybe he didn't invent it, but he certainly, like, popularized it, like, the idea of, like, you know, that kind of pick, tap, shred thing you do where you take the pick on the side and, like, tap it on the strings and then use the other hand to, like, do, you know, hammer-ons is what they call them, and, you know, pick scrapes and just little accoutrement, like you said, little touches that added so much animation to his playing.
All over the place. And it was just a very fun style of guitar. He was never serious about it. He would, you know, back in the day, they would have these just raucous after-show parties. And Eddie many times wouldn't be there because he would go back after a stadium show and go back to his hotel room and play guitar because he's just one of those guys like Slash that just like lived, ate, slept and drank his guitar. And he, of course, in the room, he had mountains of cocaine and rivers of booze to help him along. So it's not like
I saw you.
It's not like he skipped
that.
The after party to go just play guitar and leave.
Yeah, like a guitar monk of some kind. Yeah,
he was a guitar monk, but you know, fueled by mountains of cocaine. But
I was worried that I was full of shit just then. But I was looking up like techniques that he maybe didn't invent, but definitely pioneered. And hammer-ons was one. That's the one where you use your left hand to like
the finger tapping.
Hit finger tapping, and also just tremolo picking, where you use that's like the way that you use the pick to make very, very, very fast kind of rhythmic patterns or whatever.
Yeah.
And also the two-handed tapping, where you take a finger and hammer on one note, and then you sort of like bugga-da, 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 bugga-da with the left hand, and then the right hand is like adding that third note. And he didn't invent it, but he definitely popped up. And the big thing with him and his sound was that whammy bar. He would use these crazy meow dives and swoops and, you know, make the strings go completely slack and then like tighten them back up. And, you know, that's it's exciting. He was a very dynamic and exciting player, you know?
Yeah, and you know, if the rumors are true, he would play his early shows with his back to the audience during the solos so that other guitar players couldn't see what he was doing. And
I'm trade not sure secrets, if that's just baby.
Legend or not, but it's pretty cool. Love it. Rest in peace, Mr. Van Halen. I felt so bad for Wolfie. That tweet of his just broke my heart.
That's how I heard about it, too. A friend of mine, Jordan, actually, from Rivals, forwarded it to me.
Very, very sad. So, Noel, we're going to get going here. We got a couple of things on the docket. We have a fun little mini crush Halloween post, and then another edition of Pop Quiz Hotshot with a special guest that will be joining us that you don't even know about yet. How excited are you?
I mean, I'm assuming it's not a repeat, or else you wouldn't be making a thing of it.
All right, so we asked the mini crush audience here, what is your favorite fun non-horror Halloween movie? Because a lot of people don't like horror movies, Noel, and I don't want to just make it all about the horror flicks.
No.
But some people love Halloween spookiness at the same time without the murder aspect.
Somebody on the Crushers page was asking, like, well, what spooky movie should my 10-year-old watch?
Yeah.
And there was a nice list coming together. And I suggested The Conjuring, which I know was very, very scary.
Oh, boy.
But it was only PG-13. Hmm. So, you know, approach with caution.
It's not PG-10.
No, I know, but 10, come on, 10 is basically 13.
I think that's a little too scary for a 10-year-old.
You think so?
I think so. But, you know.
All right, my bad.
No, they can make their own decision, Noel, and if they just solely listen to what you say, then you'll be responsible for some mental scars.
From some mental scars, yeah. I only want the responsibility of my own child's mental scarring.
Exactly.
Not others.
All right, so we're going to start off with top fan and old pal, Linnea Barnett. And Linnea says, Paranorman, a movie I don't know. She says it's funny and has a lot of heart. Flew under a lot of people's radar. It's one of the best recent spooky, not scary movies of the last decade. Do you know that movie, Noel?
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's one of those Leica movies, if I'm not mistaken. Leica Studios that did The Box Trolls.
Right. It is.
Okay, and the one about Kobu and the Two Strings.
Okay.
All of them are wonderful. And they're
good.
They're stop motion, but they look like CGI because they're so good.
Yeah.
Which almost begs the question, why didn't you just make it CGI? Because it looks like it, but it's actually stop motion. They're
How
beautiful,
dare you,
beautiful
Noel?
Movies.
How dare
I
you?
I know. I'm mainly joking, but they're so perfect and so slick and really just incredible, incredible art.
I have to check that out. That looks like it's right up my daughter's alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, all of those would be.
So Lauren Duke says Corpse Bride. That she likes more than Nightmare Before Christmas.
Interesting. I personally disagree. I mean, it's a taste thing. Nightmare just has such an indelible thing for me. But Corpse Bride was really fun.
I haven't seen either one of them.
Oh my goodness!
Big holes, Noel.
Oh, these are kiddo movies.
Yeah.
Nightmare in particular. I don't know. Like, did she? What's her take on spooky ghosts and maybe like zombie type stuff?
Yeah, she kind of likes that stuff until she doesn't. You know?
Well, then I think she'd like Nightmare because it's all in good fun and tongue-in-cheek and nothing actually scary, but there's some like macabre things in it. You know what I mean?
Macabre?
Macabre. Macabre. Spaghetti.
Spaghetti. Here's one from Marty Willis. Welcome to the show, Marty. The Halloween That Almost Wasn't, a 1979 special with Judd Hirsch playing Dracula. Oh, my Lord. That's
Judd
a deep
Hirsch.
Cut.
From Taxi, right?
Yes.
Judd, and also the Jeff Goldblum's dad from Independence Day.
Uh-huh. And if I'm not mistaken, I share a birthday with Judd Hirsch.
Cool.
I think I remember being a kid and knowing that factoid.
Another good short one is Halloween is Grinch Night, which is very strange. It's the strangest Dr. Seuss ever. It's like the Grinch is sort of like the ringmaster of Halloween and making all the spooks come out. And there's this little Who kid that's running around. And it's very psychedelic. It's very, there's a lot of weird imagery, and it's very strange. It doesn't really have a plot. It's just kind of, and the spooks come out and things get weird. That's basically what Halloween is Grinch Night is. But highly recommend it. It's very interesting.
Sounds great. And everyone just took a shot because you said psychedelic.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Shrestha, one of our old pals, and I know I never say her name right, Anna or Anna. I might be saying it all wrong. She mentioned a couple of classics that I knew would be all over this page. Hocus Pocus and Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I had Beetlejuice on Laserdisc and still remember when I had to flip that disc to side B. It was right after Beetlejuice shouts, nice fucking model. That's funny.
That was the one F-bomb they got. In the middle. We talked about this recently.
Yeah.
Up with fuck, I believe.
I love that. Laserdisc people knowing, remembering when you flip that thing. That's pretty great.
That is pretty funny.
Amanda Thompson says those two movies, in addition to Adam's Family Values, a movie my brother worked on. And it was great. It was better than The Ridge, I think. It was very fun. And a young Christina Ricci had a little sweetheart crush on my brother.
Oh, wait, what? For real?
Mm-hmm.
She had a crush on him?
Yeah, I mean, she was his little kid. It was a little sweetheart crush.
I'm so jealous, though. I've told you that she was my childhood crush.
Well,
Chuck.
Yes, Noel. But, I mean, he's quite a bit older, obviously. And but, he, you know, is a very handsome guy. So there were little,
what are you saying, Chuck? You saying I'm not a... You saying I... Not a handsome guy?
No, I'm sure if you had worked on the set of Adam's Family Values, she would have preferred you.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. That's all I needed. Thank you. Thank you.
You
had
been a child working on the film crew, which would have been odd.
Yeah, maybe I would have been an extra, you know?
Sure.
Maybe we would have ended up together. We were destined. It felt that way to me anyway at the time.
You never know. You probably could have played that hand
thing.
I was
once an aspiring young hand model.
Were you really?
No. But I had designs on maybe being one day. It seems like a cool gig.
You know, Noel, you posted a thing with your mom the other day, little sidebar here. And I Googled your mom's name because I was like, you know, I never even knew her name. So I Googled her and, you know, there was a cool article. I'm sure you've seen it, like an interview with her from back in the day where she even mentions you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She said,
I actually haven't seen that.
She said that. You know, opera singer, obviously, and she said that she's been listening to a lot of rock and roll because she has a teenage son. And
oh,
I
wow.
I know that teenage son.
I am not aware of this at all. Though there's one really great piece of video of her, though, from right before. I think maybe she already was pregnant with me, but not showing. But there's a video of her performing at the San Francisco Opera from 1980. Too, and it's fantastic, and she's you know, in her prime in terms of like fabulousness and, you know, diva-ness.
Is that on the YouTube?
It's on the YouTube.
See,
yeah.
I looked actually for YouTube performances, but I didn't see it. It probably just wasn't listed under her name.
I'll send it to you.
It's
worth
it
a watch.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
and maybe we can post it. People would love to hear your mom sing. I bet. Although everyone just really wants to hear us sing Seven by Prince because that was a big hit.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Yeah, they
I think it's an underappreciated Prince jam.
Let's see. The Danger Oven. Gail Kuhn says, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Oh, of course. A lot of fun. Bennett Duckworth, one of our old pals, says, my wife and I traditionally watch Arsenic and Old Lace.
Is that like an Agatha Christie jam?
I think so. It sounds familiar. Boy, a lot of Beetlejuice on here, Noel. And another Arsenic and Old Lace from Damon Tackett.
That's got to be Agatha. You know what I watched last night with the kid and my friend? It held up not only to my memory of it, but to the hype that I have since given it in my mind because of a particular Key and Peele sketch, the movie Gremlins 2.
Mm.
Have you seen Gremlins 2, Chuck?
Well, I have. I don't remember it like I remember the OG Gremlins because that was a movie I loved. It was right in my wheelhouse age-wise. And I remember the sequel not being as good, but do you like it?
Oh, Chuck, it shouldn't even be in the same, you know, neighborhood, let alone the same street as Gremlins 1. It's its own thing entirely.
Okay.
If you'll, the sketch on Key and Peele is about this character who's like a Hollywood sequel doctor, and it's basically like the room where they're doing the pitch meeting for the initial pitch for Gremlins 2, and you know, Key is playing the kind of head writer. He's like, all right, so we're gonna have all the same stuff from the first one, you know, the water and blah 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 blah. And then this very fabulous script doctor comes in and starts saying, all right, y'all, this is Gremlins 2 we're doing here, G2. It should be a party in here. How about this? Everyone gets to design their own gremlin. And he just goes around the table and everyone just, like, picks a gremlin. It's like, mm-hmm. What about a googly-eyed gremlin? How about an electric gremlin? A spider gremlin? Gremlin. And then he's like, that's yes, it's in the movie. And then at the end, the Key goes, you know, none of this is actually going to be in the movie. And then a title card comes up and says, all of that is in the movie. And it is.
Wow.
It's absurd, bonkers. It gets meta. It breaks the fourth wall.
Really?
Hulk Hogan's in it. It is ridiculous. And I love it.
Man, I got to check that out then. And you know what? We're coming up. I mean, Gremlins is a little scary. I mean, it's too scary for a 5-year-old.
I think so. This one in particular has got some, even some sexual innuendo, but it's only PG-13, but my kid passively watched it with us and
yeah.
While making beaded bracelets, and she thought it was funny and bizarre.
All right, well, I'll put that on the list for later mm-hmm. years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let me see here. Lillian Rolfe says, Wallace and Gromit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Those are fun.
Yeah, those are great. And it utilizes your most hated medium, which is stop-motion animation.
Did you say hated?
I'm kidding. You tried to kill it earlier and replace it with
I didn't
CGI.
Try to. No, it was a weird backhanded compliment is okay. What it was. I was saying these Leica movies look so good.
I'm just kidding.
Like, look so slick that they almost look like CGI, but yet they're actually, they put in the work.
I know.
It's a lot of work to make a stop motion picture.
All right, here we go, Noel. Our old buddy and one of our favorites, Stellan Carlson, says Gremlins 2.
The new batch.
Yeah.
That's the subtitle, The New Batch. Yeah.
So Stellan's right in there with you.
Did he have any commentary on it or just dropped it in there?
No. Stellan says this, everyone has said the suggestions I was thinking of, Young Frankenstein, The Burbs, etc., which, by the way, I haven't even mentioned those, but I'll say Gremlins 2 and then a little smiley face emoji. And actually, we might as well read the comments here because old friend Caroline Gaston says, the bad guy in Gremlins 2 was basically Trump, almost more than Biff in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah, except he didn't end up actually being the bad guy. I have to interject here. He's this Trump-esque character who has this ridiculous building, and it's all automated, but none of the technology works, so they're definitely making fun of Trump with him. But by the end, you realize he's just kind of a big, dumb softy, which I appreciate. You think he's the villain.
Okay.
The real villain is Christopher Lee, who plays the scientist who has this gene-splicing lab that is in this Trump Tower-esque kind of mixed-use compound. And, of course, the gremlins end up running amok in there, and that's where they turn into all the different gremlin styles by drinking all of the splice gene juice.
Yeah, and if you cast Christopher Lee, you're really telegraphing your bad guy there, you know?
Big time. Big time.
Someone should have reversed that at some point. It's a little too late now, but someone should have reversed that and had Christopher Lee as a red herring and turn out to be sort of like in Home Alone, turn out to be the kindly old grandpa.
Mm-hmm. Like in The Wicker Man.
Yeah, exactly. a lot of votes for Ghostbusters. Yeah, that's sure, that counts. Dave Lindquist, he mentioned that, old friend. Our top fan here, Berta Buzan Ferguson, says it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, of course.
I always thought it was You're the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. I think that's right.
No, you're right. You're right. And mine makes no sense.
Charlie Brown's not the Great Pumpkin.
He's no one is the Great Pumpkin. Isn't the Great Pumpkin sort of meant to be like Santa Claus for Halloween, uh-huh. kind of? Is that the joke?
Sure.
Okay.
John Query says, E.T., totally a Halloween movie. And you know what? John is kind of right. There's trick-or-treating. It's got a Halloween-y vibe. I would not maybe straight up call it a Halloween movie, but it certainly is reminiscent of Halloween. All right, and then let's finish with a couple more of these. Everyone's saying Hocus Pocus, by the way, especially all the ladies. They love that
I've
movie.
I've never seen Hocus Pocus. Do you like it, Chuck?
Yeah, it's fun. We watched it last year with Ruby. I think you and your daughter, that'd be a fun view for you guys. That'd be good. All right, we'll finish up here with Nick Kelly, top fan and old pal, says, Over the Garden Wall, a miniseries, but still. All right. So those are, and there's a good list going, everyone. So if you got kids, if you want to watch some kind of fun Halloween-y stuff, go check it out.
I also recommend a lot of the streaming services do a pretty good job of curating nice Halloween lists, you know, for various tastes. Because like you said, Chuck, I mean, everyone doesn't want absolute splatterfest. Some people might be more down, like our buddy Paul, with like maybe the classic old Hollywood monster movies where you want to get in the spirit of Halloween, but you don't want to, you know, have nightmares. So take a look at some of those. There's ones on Amazon that are pretty good. If you have HBO Max, those are really good because they've got a lot of good content on HBO Max, including some really good classic stuff.
Yeah.
I've heard that new Invisible Man movie with, what's your name? Peggy Olson. Yeah. Is supposed to be really great. And it seemed like it was sort of a throwaway, but apparently it's really great. It's about like gaslighting and kind of abusive relationships, but also like really spooky and well done. So
I'll check that out.
I'm wanting to check that one out.
I think it's probably free now, right?
I don't. I think you might be right. Yep.
I mean, that was one of the ones they released for full price. It was like
that's correct. That is correct. Yep, that is correct.
All right, Noel, we're going to move on now to, and by the way, everyone, we have some good Halloween content coming. We're doing some horror movie roundtables coming up over the next few weeks for the Friday editions, including later on today, although that will already be out with me and Noel and Annie and Lauren. So, Noel, we're going to play a little game here, and let me invite in a very special friend.
Oh, boy.
Admit into room. And this is very exciting, Noel, because you don't even know. Look who it is.
What?
Hi.
Annie Reese. I was just talking about you with somebody.
Hello.
Mainly just, they asked me if I'd seen you corporeally since quarantine. And the answer, I had to think about it for a second, because we have chatted a lot virtually and interacted a lot virtually, but I have not seen you corporeally since COVID started.
I know. This is so exciting.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a reunion, everyone.
It is.
Yeah.
Annie's holding your heart. That's very sweet.
Yeah. I'm actually making a... Wait, I don't want to spoil it for anybody that listens. No, I will slightly spoil it. Annie has enlisted me to help make some music cues for her Dungeons & Dragons games.
Whoa.
Yes.
Isn't that the most extra shit you've ever heard?
It's next level.
I love it. Yeah. She's a next level DM, let me tell you. But I made one that she sent me lyrics for, and now I'm making a second one for a game that's coming up. I need a homework assignment, and I need a deadline, and she is more than happy to oblige.
Yes.
And I love doing these, so this one's going to be a little more metal.
Yeah, it's a Slipknot parody. Mm-hmm. For the excellent band Slipknot.
Yes.
For those who
are you familiar,
heard of
Chuck,
it.
They're very Halloween-y type of metal band. They wear masks and look like a bunch of creeps.
I think we can all agree that Annie's kind of the best.
Thank you.
No question.
If you're making music stings for Dungeons and Dragons and writing lyrics, then yeah, that qualifies you as best human.
One thing, she's participatory too. It's not like she's just like, hey, Noel, here's this thing, do it and get out of here. She actually sends me lyrics and there's like collaboration. And then I send her like drafts and she gives me feedback sometimes. It's really nice. I love doing it.
It's awesome.
I love doing it.
Thank you.
All right, Annie, you're here for a very specific reason, not just because you're wonderful.
Ooh.
That helps. But you're here to play a very new game. And I won't assume that you have heard this. Casey was our first participant a few weeks ago and everyone loved it. And so we're going to keep this going. We had Casey in the hot seat for our new quiz show, Pop Quiz Hot Shot. So this is how it works, Annie. Got to clear your mind.
Okay.
Relax. Oh, relax your brain and your body. You got to chill out.
Okay. I really should have asked more questions about this before I just agreed to it.
No. It's way better this way. You're not going to make me keep score again, Chuck, are you?
Yeah, you're going to keep score, Noel.
Can I tell you a thing really quickly?
Sure.
A listener of the show who I've become good friends with and chat with, and she sends me things occasionally. She sent me some plant clippings.
Okay.
She is sending me a steno pad that has got columns on every page and is specifically designed for scorekeeping in sports games. It's like some sort of vintage, like, you know, metal pad, and it was to help me keep score during these situations.
I love that. And Noel, I might like some of those plant clippings. Wink.
Oh yeah, gotcha, buddy. Gotcha. No, they really are. They really are just like succulents. But I'll send you.
Like succulents too. Noel. Wink.
Okay.
Wink.
All right, I got you, baby.
No, I'm just kidding. So here's how it works, Annie. Is there are 10 questions. with three answers each for a possible 30 points. You get a point for each one that you can list. And it's like, name a movie or name three movies that, you know, blank.
Okay.
And here's the rub, though. You're on a timer.
Okay.
So you got 10 seconds for each one. And that's where it gets interesting because Casey knows so much about movies. And Casey froze like a little frozen ice statue. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun to hear Casey upset at himself.
Is this just like a way to get back at people? Are you sure?
No. Yeah, it's a little cruel. I mean, the thing with Casey, though, was he was digging too deep. These questions were too surfacey for him. Mm. And he wanted to dig deep. He wanted it to be imbued with meaning.
Right, it's true. Right. Yeah,
okay.
It's true. So what we're going to do is I'm going to set my little clock here. Noel is going to keep score at 10 seconds. And we're very forgiving here, Annie, with
the seconds
as far as saying an answer as the buzzer sounding and stuff like that. And we spent an hour trying to figure out what to use as our thing. And I think didn't our Uber producer Seth end up just using his own?
Oh, he did?
Effects?
Did he really?
Maybe. I can't remember.
I didn't actually listen back to that far of that episode for some reason. I need to, though. I actually started yesterday, and then I didn't make it to the end. But Seth is definitely a next-level guy in that respect, so I wouldn't be surprised.
All right. I'm going to use Night Owl.
Night Owl is a classic. Good for the season, too.
Yeah.
All right. How are you feeling, Annie?
I'm feeling a little excited, a little nervous, a little confused. Uh-huh. Yep. Lots of things happening right now.
It's early. Yeah, it is early. It's like 9:30 in the morning.
Yep. I didn't know I was going to be here until like 10 minutes ago.
I know. You're very... I didn't see your email yesterday afternoon. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all good.
So
let me lock you guys in place in my Zoom, and then I'm also going to get my notepad out. Sorry, Chuck, go right ahead.
Get your little steno pad out.
Uh-huh. I don't have that yet. I'm using the virtual version, okay. But not
this
for long.
This is high tech.
So, Annie, these are going to be horror movie specific, too, just to go ahead and give you a little tease.
Ooh, okay.
And I know you know a lot about horror movies, so you should do great.
A specific brand of horror movies, yeah.
And I will only start the timer after I have read the question.
Okay.
Are we all clear on the rules?
I'm ready to just freewheel it. Let's go.
Let's freewheel
it. Let's go for it.
That's what all right. Say. Annie Reese.
Yes.
Name three horror movies with the word night in the title. Go.
Nightmare on Elm Street? Can I just do all Nightmare on Elm Street? Nightmare on Elm Street 1, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
We're going to need the subtitles to each of those as well, Annie, to make them fully count. No, I'm kidding. We'll give it to you. What do you say, Chuck? Can we give it to her?
No, I say, I mean, Annie knows how to game the system, and Casey did not. So
that's exactly right. You're playing the game correctly,
you
Annie.
Gotta play
so
the
that's
game.
30 points, correct?
3 points, Noel.
3 points.
Good
I'm sorry,
God.
Yes, 30, Noel. I like you. I'm with you.
What's the difference? 33, sure. It's just a different ratio,
right.
You know?
For a possible right. 300 points then in this game,
yes.
Instead of 30. All right, Annie. Great job. 3 out of 3.
All right. Sweet.
Okay. Here we go. In 10 seconds, Annie, name three movies featuring ghosts.
Ooh. The Sixth Sense, The Others... And that other movie, that one.
All right.
You know what I'm screaming at you in my mind,
what?
Annie? Ghost. The movie Ghost.
And it actually showed up. I mentioned it on a podcast, and no joke, it just showed up outside my apartment one day. I don't know how it got there. Maybe the ghost.
Wait, a ghost
it.
Showed up outside your
no,
apartment?
The
holy
DVD
shit.
Of ghosts.
Oh, my Lord. I thought Demi Moore was at your house.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Are you saying someone dropped off a mysterious copy of the movie
yes,
Ghost?
And I still haven't watched
at
it.
At your apartment?
Yes. Oh, Ghostbusters. Oh.
Yeah, that would have been a good all one. Right. All right. Well, you only get 20 points
darn
for
it.
That one. Sorry, Annie.
All right.
2 points. All right. 2 out of 3. That's great.
Apparently, it ain't bad, according to Meat Loaf.
You're doing better than Casey was doing at this point.
Oh, man. But I could have gotten a perfect score. And now it's out the window. Is there a bonus? Can I have a makeup?
And there's no extra credit here. Well, you should get a bonus point just for doing your D&D music stings.
Yes, thank you. It is spooky, some of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And by the way, you could have listed Ghost. That doesn't have to be horror movie.
Can it? It's like horror adjacent.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, any game the system any way you can.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, Annie Reese, in 10 seconds, Name three famous horror movie murder weapons.
Freddy's claws, Jason's machete thing, and then I guess knives.
All right. We're going to take those first two. We're not going to accept, I guess, knives.
What?
We would have accepted Michael Myers' knife.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's good. Two out of three. I mean, if you keep going like this,
okay,
you're doing great.
All right.
Did Casey have any, like, goose eggs? Did he have a hard, like, a hard zero for one where
I can't remember if he had any goose eggs. Casey did Don't Fall Into This Trap, Annie, which is... thinking of something different and then talking about that different thing for like 7 seconds.
Also, like,
I was thinking of the other thing.
When you're digging deep for the one thing that's on the tip of your tongue, let it go and come up with another one. Yeah, there's a lot of movies with ghosts in them. A lot.
It's a tough game because it's hard to have your mind blank, but also try to search for everything you've ever seen.
Yeah.
In 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I want to be in the hot seat. I want to see how I stack up.
You'll be in the hot seat, Noel. All right. Okay. We'll bring Annie in to keep score and make fun of you.
Yes.
Okay, I love it.
Yes.
I feel like I'm being pretty supportive here, Chuck. I don't think I'm making fun of Annie.
Yeah, I think you're being great. Very supportive. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, question four, Annie.
Okay.
In 10 seconds. Name three famous... first and last name, horror movie murderers.
Ooh.
Starting now.
Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger.
Boom!
With time to spare. And no, you can't use that time for the next question.
What?
There's no carryover.
There's no rollover minutes here.
No, that's great. Three classics. I mean, those are the first three that should come to anyone's mind.
Yeah. I was trying to remember what the killer's name is. From Scream, but all I can think of is Skeet Ulrich. Billy Loomis. That's his name.
Billy Loomis. But he's not the killer in all of them, though. He gets killed. Wait, I don't want no spoilers.
Spoilers for Scream, the 90s movie? Yeah. I think you're good.
You have no idea, Annie. People get bent out of shape about spoilers.
It's a 10-year rule. I'm a firm believer of it.
I'm glad that you were on the same page there. But
what
I still
was that other bad
lightly.
Name in Scream? That was such a silly name.
Gale Weathers?
I mean, the
actor or the character?
The character, the killer guy who killed the mom.
Who killed the mom?
Yeah, who killed Neve Campbell's mom.
Well, wasn't that it gets very complicated. Billy Loomis?
It wasn't Billy Loomis.
Oh, Cotton Weary.
Cotton Weary.
Yes.
That's right. What a dumb name. I love it.
Well, I love his talk show is 100% cotton. That's excellent.
That's pretty good.
What is that, in like Scream 3?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yep. I've seen them all.
100% cotton.
Isn't Scream 3 the one they filmed in Decatur? Or
Scream
was that 2?
Scream 2.
Yeah, 2 is in Decatur.
Which is my favorite one, actually.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That was all up in Agnes Scott, right?
Yep.
The college campus? Okay.
All up in Agnes Scott.
All up in Agnes. Sorry, that sounds horrible.
All right, Annie, this is right up your alley.
Oh, God. Okay.
Number five in 10 seconds. Name three movies featuring a final girl.
Oh, my God. Okay, Scream, Halloween, and Cabin in the Woods.
All right. You're crushing this.
I've been preparing for years.
Yeah, I'm recording.
All my bad horror movies that I've watched has been for this.
You're recording the score, Noel? All right.
Yes.
All right, we've done Chuck. Five. Where is she halfway through? I'm not testing you. I'm just making sure.
Let's see. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 130 points.
Yes! Yes!
Why not just make it a fucking 1,000 so we're less confused?
I like that.
1.3 million points.
I'm feeling on top.
Okay, 13 points.
Okay, 13
cool?
points. All right, that's great, cool. At the halfway All right. point. Yeah. All right, Annie, here we go. In 10 seconds, Annie Reese, mm-hmm. name three horror movies where someone is stabbed.
Scream, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street.
This is a little easy. I'll
No, it's don't take away think. From me.
No.
How dare you?
I'm not gaslighting you.
Really lobbing some softies here, Chuck.
Just so you know, I made it very easy.
No, don't tell me that.
No.
This is.
It's kind of hard to think of horror movie ones because it's like, what do? You stab people?
Oh, man.
Lots of things, Annie. Tell us.
Death by pool, death by hot tub. I mean, there's so many like specific deaths.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can help me next time.
Unrelated horror movies in a series like Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Death by immolation.
Oh.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Can we get back on track? I wrote this.
Okay, go.
And all right, Annie, did an excellent job.
Thank you. Yes, you did.
Number seven, Annie Reese, in 10 seconds. Name three horror movies from the 1980s.
Nightmare on Elm Street, Poltergeist, and I don't know about those. Ghostbusters!
Ooh. Right on the button.
I think you got it in just under the wire.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would classify Ghostbusters as a horror
movie,
but we'll give it
adjacent.
To you. We'll give it to you. No, that's good. 3 out of 3. Wonderful.
It's got some spooks.
3 million points on that one.
That's right.
Excellent.
Thanks.
All right, Annie, number 8. In 10 seconds. Name three full titles, three horror movie sequels.
Oh, Scream 2, The House 2, The Second Story, Halloween 2.
All right. Nice.
Yay.
Good job.
Was that three? I'm sorry, I got distracted.
She got 3 out of 3, Noel.
Okay, 3 out of 3.
I can't. House 2, points. The Second Story. Dang.
I got to say, I love, Annie, that you're giggling through most of this, which is just charming and endearing. Casey was angry.
How dare you?
There was a lot of, God damn it. Oh, shit. God damn it.
That sounds right.
Okay. Oh, world clock. I don't want world clock. Where'd my timer go? Okay. All right. Two more.
Oh, God.
You're doing great.
Okay.
Annie Reese, in 10 seconds. Name three movies with the word dark in the title.
Dark Sky. The Darkening. Is that a movie? Dark Water. Dark Water is.
Okay.
Try for a fourth. The Darkening, I don't think is a movie.
What?
Yeah, Noel, can you check that? The Darkening? If it's not, it damn well should be.
Definitely doesn't, I don't think. Yeah,
The Darkening? Okay. You could probably, with these movies, straight to video, you could probably say, like, Dark Butt, and that's a movie. There are a lot of dark movies.
Oh, no, there is a movie called The Darkening. Yes. Holy shit.
All right.
From 2012. Did you just pull that out of the ether?
Yeah, that's... a nice way to say it, Noel, out of the ether.
Yeah, out of your ether. You just pulled that out of your ether. When a young man and his wife return to his hometown after an absence of 20 years, in an effort to end his, I'm already bored, chronological nightmares from witnessing his, Jesus, this is a clunky description. Sorry, chronological nightmares from witnessing his mother brutally murdered as a young boy, a dark and mysterious stranger begins killing local townsfolks.
And it's him. Spoiler alert. Probably.
And you know what that's called? The Dark.
Yes. I have never been more proud of myself as I am in this
moment. I know, that's
moment.
Fantastic.
Oh, funny you should say that. There's one more line, excuse me, in the synopsis is the young man becomes the prime suspect and must uncover the truth behind his connection to
the
Darkening.
I thought it was the bus that couldn't slow down.
That would have been good too.
Oh my right. God. I'm so
All right,
happy.
Annie, you're killing this. Last one.
I'm sorry, I got so no. Giddy there. Was that a 3 out of 3?
That was 3 out
no,
of 3.
We did, yeah, because of the yes, exactly. Okay, boom, we're good.
Yeah,
we're
dark
good.
Skies, I think, dark water and
dark waters.
The dark. Yeah.
you gotta take your shot, you know?
Gotta take your shot.
I know you really like that TV show Dark, Chuck. That would have been cool, but it's a TV show.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. All right, finally, number 10 in 10 seconds. Annie Reese. Mm-hmm. Name three horror movies featuring supernatural elements.
Poltergeist, Ghost, and The Sixth Sense.
Boom, shakalaka.
All right. What's our final tally, Noel? How many millions of points?
Let's see. 3, 6, 9.
This is where it gets fun.
You stop it. Now I start all over again. I mean, complete.
This is why,
you,
why
do you have your
Noel.
Shoes off? Are you counting toes?
No. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 2,800 points.
Wow. Out of a possible 3,000. That's amazing.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel good.
Solid. Should, solid Annie. Performance. That was great. Solid performance.
Annie, do you want to stick around for our Stream This segment?
Sure. I'd love to.
So Stream This is where we talk about what we've been watching lately. I will go first very quickly. I've finished the TV show Dark, finally. Third season. Have you seen it, Annie?
No, but I've been told I would love it.
You probably would. I would say the third season was, for a confusing show, got really, really confusing, and it kind of lost me a bit. Not only in the confusion, but I think it lost a little bit of the soul of what I really enjoyed most about the show through seasons one and two, but it was good and it was a satisfying ending. I also watched Dr. Sleep the other night.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were nonplussed.
I thought it was okay. I was a little bored. I might have been distracted.
It's pretty long. It's pretty dense.
Yeah, and I love this. I kind of ended up fast-forwarding to the Shining stuff toward the end, because I really did love that stuff.
Yeah, I actually felt the opposite way. I liked the first part of the movie better. I felt like they were really trying too hard to Shining it up a little bit at the end. I liked more of the backstory and more of the... I loved the casting they did, though. The guy that plays the Scatman Crothers character looks just like him. The very brief snippet of Wendy, of Shelley Duvall. Great. God damn, what a crazy casting
and
job.
Dude, how about Henry Thomas as Jack Nicholson?
Shot exclusively in profile, which is what really sold the effect. I loved it. I thought that was very clever.
What did you think, Annie? Did you like that movie?
Yes, it was one of the last movies I saw in before quarantine, actually. And I saw it at the Plaza, and there's that scene where they're in the Plaza.
That's right.
Which is pretty cool. Atlanta. Yeah. I've always said that The Shining is the most different book to movie adaptation I've ever seen.
Totally.
And I feel like the Dr. Sleep is more of what Stephen King actually had in mind.
So you read it?
Yeah. But most of his works are very confusing, or there's a lot going on. I don't know if confusing is the right word, but so I think there is kind of that shock for people who love The Shining and then went in to see Dr. Sleep, and it's just so different. But once you get over that, I enjoyed it. It just feels like a totally different thing than The Shining, the movie.
Yeah, I would have been more locked in a theater, I think. Also hated that dumb hat.
Oh, yeah, the hat. The hat lady.
Rose the hat? Ruth the hat?
Rose.
What's her name? Rose?
I just literally didn't like the hat.
But that's literally her name. It's in the book. I appreciated the fact that they didn't shy away from some pretty upsetting, torture-y moments with children.
I did not like that one scene. Yeah. We won't ruin it, but that one, well, I thought it was a little unnecessary.
Let me rephrase. No, and I'm that way too. And what I'm saying is, I'm not saying thumbs up to child torture in movies. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that was absolutely in the book, and they filmed it exactly as it was described in the book. And I appreciated that, because so often that's the kind of thing they would cut. And I thought it was affecting.
It was very
made you really see the evil in these characters and really fear for their, the people they were, pitted against. The Shiners, whatever.
Yeah. And then the last thing I watched lately that I posted about on the page was My Octopus Teacher, which is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful documentary in every way. I really recommend it for everyone. It hit Emily and I on many, many, many different levels. And it's just heartwarming and sad and uplifting and really, really good stuff. Especially if you're a fan of the octopus, which, as anyone who listens to Stuff You Should Know knows, that's long been one of Josh and mine's favorite animals. So it's
Stuff You Should Know knows.
You got to watch it. It's on Netflix. Annie, what have you been watching?
Well, because it is October, I have been watching... Well, why do I even say that? I watch horror movies all the time. But I've been watching a lot of my classics. I've started my routine.
You got a list. You're all about lists.
I am all about lists. I have 30 I have to watch. So you got to get moving. But in terms of like new things I've been streaming, I did watch Host, which is the Zoom-based horror movie, which I loved. Oh. It's like,
is it good?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, it's strange because it's during our COVID times and they're making jokes about masks and stuff. And it has the Zoom time limit that pops up. And that's part of the horror of it because you're like, oh, God, it's going to end in this amount of time. I did really enjoy that.
It's a spooky looking, like if you see behind me.
Yeah. What's going on back there?
Like if a face popped into that window right now, that would be the scariest thing I could ever imagine.
Yeah. And it was really affecting in that way because now I do get nervous on these things.
Like, I know, in your spooky closet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anything could go on here. So I recommend that. I've been dipping into the depths of like The Darkening is probably not far away from something I'll watch now. I really liked Climax, which is this French film. And I don't know if I would say it's horror, but it's unsettling. And it's about like these dancers who are accidentally take LSD, I guess. Somebody put something in the punch. Uh-huh. And they're in this isolated place and they kind of slowly lose their minds together and they're just like murder. But there's like a 40-minute dance scene, I kid you not. And I was just watching it stunned that this was happening and continuing to go on. That's right up my alley. I like weird like time travel horror movies I've discovered.
Yeah.
I like puzzles, putting together puzzles.
Sure. Boy, you should watch Dark then. That's a puzzle.
Oh, good. Yeah. No, I love weird. Like, ooh, when did they have to be here time-wise to do this?
Yeah, watch Dark. It's a German puzzle that will make your brain hurt.
Excellent. And then I recently watched Witch Hunt, which I wouldn't say is good, but I really enjoyed. And it's sort of like The Wolf, Werewolf, the game, but with witches. And one of them is actually a witch, and they're trying to, eventually they realize that, and they're trying to figure out which one is the witch.
Boy, you're really trolling the depths of the horror.
I told
genre.
You. I have seen things I never imagined I would have seen.
That's amazing. Noel, what about you? What have you been watching?
I started watching this show a while back and drifted off for some reason. As I've been rewatching it, I realized I wasn't fully paying attention, but it made such noise at the Emmys this year that and so many people in it that I love. Schitt's Creek, the show with Eugene Levy and his son, and of course Catherine O'Hara, my favorites from all the Christopher Guest movies, which I just adore, and I love it. I love the characters. I think the timing is so wonderful and funny. It's just, it's such a good fish out of water story. And I don't know why I didn't grab onto it right away, but for some reason I didn't. But now I'm fully hooked. And I shared it with my mom because we talked about this at the top of the show before you joined, Danny. My mom is a kind of a retired diva opera singer. And she very much is Catherine O'Hara's character in so many ways. So she very much enjoyed it as well. That one, like I said, watched Gremlins 2 last night, which if you haven't, add that one to your list, Danny, because it's meta as hell and absolutely bonkers and just a delight.
Okay.
And it's got some really good Halloween spooky kind of tie-ins. Christopher Lee is in it. He plays an evil scientist, and it's just the best. What else, though? Oh, there's a really incredible show on HBO Max from Genndy Tartakovsky. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, who did Dexter's Laboratory and the Powerpuff Girls, but this is a very intensely brutal, violent, and sad but beautiful animated show called Primal, and it's about dinosaurs and cavemen and stuff, but it's unreal. It's like, it's so good. Highly, highly recommend that one.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well,
good recs.
It's Gremlins 2. All right.
Gremlins 2. Oh, I haven't watched this yet, but someone turned me on to it. I watched the trailer. It's also on Netflix. If you're into anime and maybe some little more intense adult anime, it's called Devilman Crybaby.
Ooh.
And it's Devilman is an older anime film series, and this is like a continuation of that.
Sounds like it's named by a 2-year-old.
I know. It's called Devilman Crybaby, and it looks awesome. It looks really bonkers and visceral and fun. So I'm going to watch that one, I think, this week.
All right. Well, we all need to watch The Darkening as well.
Yes, let's come back and compare notes on The Darkening, please.
The Darkening is actually just about like a salon. you know, where right. people are just getting their roots touched up.
Oh, no.
Lightened.
What a I dad guess. Joke. I love it. Well, thank you, Annie, for popping in. This was a delight, as always. Thank you, Noel. You're always delightful as well. And I'm going to be talking to both of you in like 3 hours.
Yep.
Along with Lauren, but that'll already be out by the time this is out. So.
Time is strange.
I'm confusing people.
I'm excited about that. We get to talk about the Vvvitch.
The Vvvitch.
Right. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown. Edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson. And scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.